Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATACP Live.
Live. Yeah, that's what they tell me. They tell me it's real live.
ATACP, recorded live, Blog Talk. We try to have Holism 4, 623, caller 623, state your name and who you are.
Hi, this is Paula M. Patton Ross here with my attorney, Taylor Hamilton J. Esquire.
Yeah, well, you got your attorney in your back pocket.
I can't be held responsible for any of the questions I'm asked and I answer. I need legal advice.
I feel you. I feel you.
Shoot, I heard it's going to be a survey. Somebody might hold me responsible.
and we waiting on the guest of honor. She hadn't called in, but I'm glad I got a female perspective so I can ask some of these questions. A former hoe as myself, so we know hoism quite well. And I'm waiting on AC to call. So AC is a former hoe and still in hoism. He's still lost. We must pray for him, but he's supposed to be calling in as well. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play one of the things from Miss Undressa. I think I got her on the line. I'm not for sure. I think I got AC on the line. 678, state your name and your business. Z-Talk, baby.
It is I. It is me. Z-1. The Edmund Man of the TAZ. I've been missing in action, baby, but I'm back. I've been around the world. I've seen the world. I heard the thunder. I've seen the lightning. I'm back, baby. I'm back, man. I'm back. And you told me about the show tonight, man. And there was no way that I could miss this. There was no way.
Look here, AC. We got on the line, Paula Patton Ross, author of Where Trees Find Shelter, a poetry book that I happen to purchase online. Author in poetry and also doing music, doing her first CD. He's the same guy that was on with the Pimp the last, I guess, a couple months back when we had Pimp K.
Yeah.
Sickle on.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is AC.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. And you, sister, you feel everything's okay?
Yeah. Everything's
this
everything.
I think this is a beautiful thing. I am all wired up for this.
I heard that.
I am all wired up for this.
Well, I'm going to play, because we waiting on the sex therapist, but we can go on because I got what she said on my prior show on ATAZP. I hope it's loud enough for y'all. I'm going to play a little bit of her view. This is Miss Undressa's view on ATAZP.com.
Even though I'm telling all this, what I do a one-on-one. I feel like this. If I'm with someone, I'm going to give them my 100%. There's no 50-50 here. You bring your 100% to the table, I bring mine. When I'm with a person, I'm focusing totally on that person. That's why I don't do any group things or whatever. I want all my focus to be on that person. My whole purpose is to please that person no matter what I have to do. I want to know their body better than they do. I want to be able to make their body do things that they never imagined.
Now,
I understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, what
I can make you rise, I can make you fall. And there's nothing you can do about it, but later in life.
That's
what,
like...
Wait a minute. What about, you had told me that you set in for some couples that need help.
Yeah. Well, it's not that they need help. It's like,
it's for your learning experience,
yes,
too, right?
Yes, like, you know, I have friends that they know that I like to learn. It's like it's like a learning experience. So me, I don't like watch porn, but I've watched the live activity and I record it and I go back and I look at it and see what they could have done better. Or, you know, like when I'm sitting in, I'm like, hold it, you know, tell me exactly how does that feel when she's doing that to you. You know, I want to know exactly. I don't like the fake stuff. This is a learning experience. And, you know, so I'll record them, you know, and then I'll go back and check it out and see what they could have done differently or done better or, you know, a way to improve it. You know, I want you to have the ultimate sexual experience. You know, like I said, you know what I love, DIX. So.
And DIX stands for dick. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I was kind of trying to figure that out, but then I put it all together and said, okay, all right, I know, okay.
Now, how y'all feeling about that? She sets in on sexual experiences with other couples and tell them what they're doing wrong.
I'm gonna
go to the woman's point of view. Go on, Si. Tell me how you feeling about that.
Yeah, my attorney's already advised me that I can't answer this question. The truth of the matter is, first of all, he did ask me how come I didn't think that I could charge a nominal fee for my services when I used to be, quote unquote, a full and capable hoe. But nonetheless, I'm thinking that, you know, if you get a mutual consent, you know, I don't know. For me, there's a two-way street here because, I mean, like, just because the man may require it, and I do think that it's generally the female that's going to go ahead and pull in a sex therapist. And then, again, I got questions about that because she knew how he was before they had to have a sex therapist. I don't know. That's a ball. It's a bowl of marbles there.
AC. How you feel about that?
I don't keep it down and dirty and real. In the middle of doing what I do, and somebody sitting there looking at me. No, man. I don't see that happening, man. Because if you ain't joining in, then don't sit over there talking to me. I'm just keeping it real. Don't sit over there and talk to me.
Is she giving her critique after their passionate, intimate session, or is she, like, prompting them in between? Our guest speaker was here because I do have some legitimate questions for her.
I know you do.
You know, my thing is this right here. It's almost like, I don't know about you, but it's almost like, you know, your lady can sometimes say something that'll just make you just go south. South sometimes. She can say something that make you go south. Now, how can it be somebody on the side telling you what to do and you stopping you in the middle of your Wait a minute, hold on. You need to be quiet.
So
basically, I'm just keeping it real, brother.
Basically, it's like having the TV on, and there's too many voices in the room, and you're going south.
I want you to know that we practice that diligently, too.
I got a question. I have a question. Can sex be the deal breaker or maker when first dating someone you may want to be close with?
That you may want to be close with?
Yeah, can sex be the deal breaker or maker? Breaker meaning he done went down south. Or she done, you understand, or maker when first dating someone you want to be close with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It can. I believe that, yeah. I believe that. I believe that. Yeah.
So if it's good, it's all good.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's a chemistry that's involved. And if you've ever heard somebody tell you that when you go into a club, okay, a guy leaves with a woman, don't even think that he chose her to go home with, because it's generally the woman knew who she was going home with.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So yeah, I believe it can be. Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. And one thing that I've heard so many women say in my time and in my weary road that I've traveled is that, just like the young lady just said, a woman can watch a guy come into a room and already say, I'm gonna make love to him tonight or next week.
Yeah.
They know already. You know, it's just that. I think for the guy, it becomes a cat and mouse game. You know, they want to see if he's gonna pursue. Okay, well, I'm gonna throw this at him and see if he's gonna catch it. So
I generally take my business card and slip it into their pocket, and then I'll pat on their chest and I'll tell them to ask their mama if they can come out with me and play.
That's true hope. Wait a minute. We got a call on the line. We got a caller on the line, I think. Caller, state yourself.
Tressa the Undresser. Can I get in on the conversation?
Hey,
yeah, yeah. You are the main person that's supposed to be here, so we were waiting on you. Go on, Tressa, add your little two-cent in. I know you heard some of it.
I'm here to learn. Go on. I like what I hear.
Oh, no. I bow before you.
Hey, we played... I want you to know, Tressa, before you came on, I played an excerpt from when me, you, and DJ Stroke talked, and you said you like to learn and also set in on sessions with people having sex, and later on you tell them what they did wrong or right to help them have the best sexual experience they ever wanted to have. I want you to explain that for the people that's on the line. That's AC and Side Digs, better known as Paula Patton Roth. I want you to tell them exactly what you do as far as that is concerned when you set in and give people advice on their sexual performances.
Now, how are you going to put me on the spot like that?
You said it. I did not. I love you to death. Just go on and tell me a little bit on how you did it and how you actually, gave them pointers.
Well, everyone's different, and what I usually do is I'll watch you first. I'll watch and see what it is that you like to do. I'll watch your facial expressions. That's one thing. Most men and some women, you don't pay attention to the facial expressions that a person is giving you. That tells you a lot about how good a job you're doing. You know how a man is call himself putting it down in bed, and he's like, you feel it, baby, you like it, baby. You wouldn't even have to ask. When you're putting it down to a woman that she can't even, when she can't even talk, when all she can do is just have her breath caught all up in her throat, man, you are putting it down. I mean, when she's at a loss for words, you are putting it down.
Do you agree? Do you agree, Paula?
First of all, ain't nobody talking to me while we playing house. But Because I could pay somebody to do that. But, no, yeah, I agree totally. I understand what she's saying. I know that when you're doing it, and you know, I have a friend, and Chaz Bowie, and he has this one saying. He says that passion is the ribbon on the box of love. And he believes that everything is an energy exchange. And I believe she's talking about the energy exchange, and when that energy is there, there's no conversation. When that energy is present, there is no conversation. So if you do have somebody that's part of that duo who is making conversation, or maybe the other person's not making conversation, but they are totally unsatisfied, then I would agree that they would need somebody to kind of guide and direct them. Now, I do have a question for you, Tessa. I was wondering whether or not your critique is after the session or during the session.
Well, really, it's kind of both. It depends on the way that it's going. If it's going good, and, you know, like I say, and, you know, you watch two people and you see that connection that they have, if it's going good, then I'll wait till after. And maybe, like, if it's going so good and, you know, and they got a good rhythm going and a good vibe going, I won't tell them, like what they're doing wrong, but I may enhance it a little, like throw some toys in there. Do you know that we spend so much money on buying all these different gadgets and stuff for pleasure when you have things right at home? You have spoons, forks. Do you know you can do a spoon and a fork?
Hang it up.
These are
AC. AC. I like to hear AC's opinion on this. AC.
Wait a minute. I want to say to you, first of all, good afternoon, good evening. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good.
Good. Okay. First of all, I hope these are plastic utensils, because we ain't gonna get the folks. We, you know, maybe we're gonna put them off to the side and keep them away from the, you know, from the kitchen. But
you might not
want to
eat at my house, okay?
Oh, my Jesus. Okay.
I make good use of my utensils. I make good use of
them. Well, okay. I mean, you know, thanks for letting me know. But I don't know. I'm like the first young lady that said, you know, I mean, I'm one, and I said this before. You know, I couldn't have somebody in the room with me. If you ain't in with me, then, and you over there talking, or you over there looking and moving and not hear noise, and it's the mere fact of knowing you right there. But I'm going south. I mean, I'm going, and it's just like I told him before, it has been times where you've been with a person who may say something to you, and you can go south. So, you know, and for a person to be sitting there to critique you and what you're doing, when you think you're doing something right, and, you know, that person may ask you, well, excuse me, hold on. Let me tell you, you know, you need to do this. You need to do that.
Hey, AC. AC, if you did go south, I'm sure Tressa would tell you. I'm sure she would say to the lady, you might need to put it in your mind.
But you know a lot of ways to fix that.
You know what? Like, in the heat of the moment, like, if your man isn't doing something that's pleasing you, you don't necessarily have to say it in words. You can move him a little bit, or you can move a little bit, or you can speed up or slow down or whatever you need to do. You know?
Well, that's true.
There's different ways
that's
you
true.
Can encourage him how to do something without actually saying the words to hurt his feelings. You know?
That's
and like,
true.
Okay, in every man we know, all black men is just a myth. All black men are not well hung. I'm sorry, but we know that's just a myth. But
speak for yourself.
But for the women who would, I'll say need a little extra and they just can't grasp it the way they want to grasp it, what I would do is there's, like, you heard of talc powder?
Mm-hmm.
Talc. You mix it with just a little bit of water, and if the woman douche with it, it tightens up everything. Now, how long it lasts, I don't want to say, but it tightens up. It's like being with a virgin.
You learning things, AC. You learning things, Paula.
Well, my whole thing is here. Honestly, I don't want a virgin.
See, every man may not be as blessed as you and may get with a woman that, you know, been around the block a couple times.
Right.
So, a hoe.
No.
Not a good one, though.
Just say it like it is. A hoe. Oh, my God. My bad. Go on, Trussa. You the expert.
Now, look, let's clear something up. A whore is just a woman that experienced and know what she's doing now. Come on now. You ain't got to call her. She just know what she's doing.
Okay.
Still a hoe, woman.
She's
still a hoe.
No, that's one trick I know that some women could do if they know it. You know, your grandparents, your great-granny might have told you about it. But that's something that they could do. Like, you know, like if your man out of town, you done did a little something-something, you want it to be as tight as it was when he was in town when he get back, okay. That's a way, you know, a person could tighten something up. And
well, I mean,
it'll feel good to the man. And the man would never know the difference. You know,
on the advice of my attorney, I have to inject something here that some women do suffer yeast infection, so it's not a good idea to start
using homemade talc. But see, talc wouldn't cause the yeast infection.
Well, the alum would actually change the chemical composition of the vaginal secretions, and once you change that hormonal composition, you set yourself up for a yeast infection. So.
Wait a minute.
But a yeast infection can be cured, though.
I'm writing this down. How you spell vaginal? I'm writing this down. Somebody spell vaginal for me.
But you know what?
anytime a woman have sex and that man is inside of her or anything, there are lots of things that can cause a yeast infection. A yeast infection is like the least of your problems. Compared to some things that you could get.
Well, yeah, definitely.
But the yeast infection, they can be cured.
Hopefully. You do encourage your clients, though, to wear condoms, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But my next question to you was, at any time, do you feel you've distracted any component of that union, of the mate?
When I'm in the room with them? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like I'm not even there. You know,
well, I mean, no, you
there.
Said that you give your critique sometimes during and sometimes after. I was just
but we discussed that ahead of time, if that's what they want.
Okay, so they know that this is like practice?
Well, it depends. It depends on what the situation is. See, they may be doing something I asked them to do so that they can tell me how it feels, you know, like when they use Alka-Seltzer.
Oh.
Like
when
they
use
Alka-Seltzer. Yeah, like when a woman used Alka-Seltzer on a man. You know, and so
I
want to know how does that really feel. So I wanted his input on how it felt. So while she was doing it, he was telling me how he felt. You know, as much as he could talk. You know, but he was telling me how it felt. So in those situations, you know, if I want them to tell me how does this feel, if I want them to try something new, how does that feel? You know, turn this way, try this. You know, use a spoon this way. You know, something like that. Then, you know, we'll communicate during.
I've got a question. Mine is basically on sex. Is it possible, now that this is for everybody, is it possible to be in love with a person's sexual abilities only and not the person as a whole?
Did this the first
hoe is. Yeah, I would say yes to that question.
Look, that's 90% of the marriages.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It depends on what the person doing.
It depends upon the foundation you build your relationship on. I mean, if your relationship is built up on sex or physical attraction, then that physical attraction can crumble just like cement crumbles.
Yep.
But if the relationship is built upon a friendship, or a devotion to that person for the person that they are, then sex is of no real consequence. You know, I mean, like it's gravy. Let's put it
right.
Look at the divorce rate. That answer your question.
Well, you know
right
what?
Here.
I don't even go to weddings nowadays because most of them end up in divorce because most of the people I know choose the wrong foundation to build their relationships on. I mean, sex is good. It's a healthy thing inside of a marriage, and I'm not knocking it whatsoever. I'm just saying that we can't be, men can't be guided by the little Mr. Helmet Head, and women can't be guided by,
but most
you know,
are.
A twitching of the
but most of them are. That's one of the biggest problems in a marriage. Most
it's
of them
true
are.
But it keeps you working, though, don't it?
Oh, I do this as a hobby. I don't get paid for it.
Really?
If I did get paid for it, man.
See, that was my next question, too, because I have friends that are still in the culture that are some, I mean, I'm talking about real dominatrixes, and they make much money.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, they're not, I'm not talking about whips and chains and tying folk up with
mm-hmm
nipple rings and stuff like that. I mean, they're true doms, not kitchen table doms. And I just assumed that this was a service that you offered for a nominal fee.
Oh, no.
Fee.
Nope.
A hobby, you say?
No, yeah, a hobby. It's basically, I like to learn. It's basically for me to learn something. And then if you want to learn something, you let me know.
How long
if
have you been learning?
If you need a little spice in your life,
you can
spice it up with the partner that you're with, you know?
But how long
there are lots
have you
of different
been
things you can do.
Doing this as a hobby?
Yeah.
How
you
long
how
have
long?
You been doing this as a hobby? Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Ooh. That long?
It's long. She can't even name a year.
At least
hobby. 10 years.
Okay, where,
huh?
At least.
Where are you located? Where are you? You
know where Fort Benning? You know where Fort Benning is? Fort Benning, Georgia.
Oh, so you're in Fort Benning. Okay,
all
right. Yeah. In Columbus.
Good spot to be. Yeah, exactly. Fort Benning.
My next question. Do women, and this is for the women that's on the panel here, do women have a rating scale of their men sexually? Do you, like, you know, if you strictly with more than a couple of people, do you actually say, well, this guy's pretty good right here, this guy ain't so good, and you know what I mean? Do you rate your men?
I don't know about Tressa, but me, I already know what I'm getting into. Before anything, when I was in the culture, I already knew
it's a culture. Oh man,
that's upon legal advice. I have to use certain words. There's certain languages we got to use here. Anyway, I knew what I was getting into, and I only visit one or the other end of the spectrum. There's no such thing as in between. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they never had any bearing on. And it's not really that I have a rating system. It's just that I'm going back to that energy thing, all right, that connection, that energy connection. And when that connection is there, it's all good. It's
okay,
good.
And you're...
My
rating system is good, bad, and ugly.
Ooh.
Ugly is the best.
Ooh.
So, when somebody call you, be, oh, that dude ugly. I got to see.
No. When they, well, how should I put it? One time this guy gave me some ugly head, if you want to say it like that. And see, that was actually his nickname, Ugly Head, and I couldn't understand. Why would he have a nickname like Ugly Head when he was this good-looking, fine, well-built man, you know? I'm like, Ugly Head? And, you know, and he showed me the meaning of Ugly Head. So that's why I say my rating scale now is on good, bad, and ugly.
Ooh.
And if you can have somebody giving you that ugly face, they putting it to you so good that you making faces you didn't think you could make. Lord have mercy. When you don't even care about your hair, your nails, you don't care how you looking, it's feeling
no,
so good.
Who's caring about that? You have clients that actually care about what their hair
ugly
and everything
head
looks like.
You,
oh my
yes,
God.
Yes. Ugly okay head. When they're giving you that ugly head, I'm telling
well,
you.
All right.
You ain't had hair until you had it ugly.
You learning something, AC? AC,
yeah,
you learning something?
Ugly. Oh yeah, I'm stuck on the ugly head.
Yes. He live
I'm
up
stuck
to
on the
name
ugly head.
He live well up to the name.
Well,
you say he's ugly? Is his head ugly? I mean, what?
No.
Kind of like hey, ill.
Better catch one.
Wait, ill is good.
No matter what part of his body he used on you. Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. You all right?
She sound like she flooding the airwaves right now. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play another excerpt of our conversation that we had. Me, Tressa, DJ Stroke was involved in. And I'm going to ask a question after I play this.
Give us just a rundown philosophy what Dix.com is all about. .com, excuse me.
Well, you had it right. Dix.com. Okay. Basically, it's all about dicks. I mean, it's like that's what I live for. That's who I am. That's what I love. That's what I do. I mean, I crave dicks. Everything about them. It fascinates me. I don't have one. So, I mean, that's my main focus in life. It's to master them.
Okay, for the
do things that you can't make it do.
DJ Stroke's eyes is wide as a saucer over there. They just jumped up to my forehead. Now next time you say you love D-I-X, say it like me.
Because I'm sitting over here, you don't know. You know how someone can flip their eyelids? Well, my eyelids just bent backwards and just smacked me in the forehead.
I'm talking about... Here she go. I love beep. And I love.
You
beep
know, I'm wondering. When.
And I want to know, Tressa, do you still feel the same way about D I X?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes. That hasn't stopped. Yes, I mean, hey, you meet a new one every day. You got to
get I got a question for you. Are you currently in a monogamous relationship right now? Or
I'm in a relationship with myself, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a relationship with myself. It's working out pretty good, too, you know?
Okay.
Okay, I got a question.
In your lifetime, let me ask this question. In your time in being the advisor, on the average of a year, how many different couples are you with, I mean, on the average of a year, in 1 year?
Okay, different ones, because sometimes it's the same ones, but different?
Okay, well, different ones, yes, different ones.
Different ones.
Yes.
Well, I try not to stretch myself too much, so...
Don't stretch yourself. Use that talking powder.
Don't say something.
No more than 20.
No more than 20.
No
okay.
More than 20.
Out of those 20, how many of those 20 do you continue to see throughout the year?
About half of them.
And how often is that you have a session with them?
Well, what I'll do is I'll wait for them to call me. And when they call me with a question about something or something maybe that they heard about and they want to try it but they don't know, like if I know anybody else that tried it before or whatever, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Okay, but still, how often is it that you see those people? I mean, is it
sometimes
three times a year? Or would you say maybe, okay, what's the most that you've seen one couple?
Four times a
week. Is there a couple that you say I see once a week, I see them once every other week, I see them once a month?
Four times in 1 month is this couple, Rock and Tina. they're the ones that wanted to just, I don't know, they wanted to try, like, everything. They wanted to try everything, you know. So we just went in the kitchen and grabbed a few things. And, you know, then we looked in the medicine cabinet, grabbed some things out of there, and we went to work. But, of course, you know, we couldn't do it all in one day. So that's why I said it was four times in 1 month.
Paula, go on, Paula.
And
okay,
it was their house so that they can use the same things over again when I'm not.
Okay, so if I'm thinking along the lines of professionalism, so ultimately your clients are never cured.
Well, they're not looking for...
Well, I say that for lack of a better word. Wait a minute. I also want to say that it sounds to me like when you say that it's a hobby, it doesn't.
It's a hobby of mine.
Right. Okay. It doesn't sound so much like you're providing a public service. It sounds like it's self-serving for you.
Okay, what was that again? My phone almost disconnected.
I said that it doesn't sound like, well, given the fact that you have these same clients continually, all right, and I said the word cure for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
but, okay, it's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
So to me it sounds like you're not providing a public service. This is just something that's self-serving because you say it's a hobby. It's something that you like to do. And
well,
so you do it with other people.
Well, it's not for the public, first of all. It's not for everybody because everyone isn't as open as some people. Most of these people are friends of mine. They are friends of a friend, and it goes like that. This is not
something I would do with a stranger.
Right. I wouldn't do this with a stranger. I would do this with somebody that,
okay.
that I care about, somebody that's interested. You know, you have to come to me for this. I don't go and say, hey, you look like a nice couple. How's your sex life? You know? They'd be like, hey,
right.
I heard about you.
Hey,
I want to try some things, you know, but I don't know exactly how to do this.
Might I ask how old you are?
That?
I've got a question.
30
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Once you finish, then I got a question.
I'm done, sir.
What was your age?
Wait a minute.
30-something.
I said 30-something.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said. Like the TV show. Okay, go on, H.
Okay, in your time and observing what people are doing.
And videotaping.
And videotaping, honestly. In your time of doing that, have you ever once felt that feeling to say, you know what, I want to try that.
No.
When I say that, I want to try him.
No.
You never.
No.
Come on now. We're just on the TAB show now. Let's keep it real.
I'm telling
you. I believe her.
Honestly, I have not. I have my reasons that I wouldn't even think that way because
I'm focused on that way, but if you think it and react to it,
but that's not what it's about. Okay, let's say you go to the doctor, like a woman, go to a gynecologist. If a woman go to a gynecologist and it happens to be a male gynecologist, I don't think he's going to walk around with a hard penis all day long from looking between everybody's legs because everybody that open their legs ain't always got something you want to see. Okay?
My attorney is shaking his finger.
So.
He's stupid. Anyway, go.
But I'm not looking at them in that way like, oh, man, you know, God, you know, like he might be giving her some ugly head. But I'm not looking at it like that's something I would want because I know that's something that I could get if I really wanted it, but I wouldn't want it from that person. You understand what I'm saying?
And I've asked this question when I first met her, so I'm beyond that point now. I've asked that question at the very beginning. I got a question here. Can you tell by looking at someone whether that person will be hot in bed. Can you figure it out just by looking at somebody that you can say it's going to be good, or is it all 50-50, like shooting in the dark?
Well, I can look at someone. I can look at someone and say I can make that person hot in bed.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, but just looking at somebody and say that person hot in bed, no. I wouldn't fool myself like that.
Yeah, the experience is what you want. I mean, like, if he's already got ideas that he'd like to get with you, and you already have it in your mind and you like to get with him, then you make that experience. If he can't do it, then you do it. You make that experience the best experience that you can have.
Yep.
Okay, cool. AC. Did AC drop off?
He did the last time.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going on again.
But another thing, I wouldn't let him walk away thinking that he just did it all. I'd let him know, look, we had to do this and we did it like that. And, you know, I let him know that it wasn't all him. I don't want him to leave with the big head thinking that he's the man and that he did it all himself when he didn't know what he was doing. I would let him know. I wouldn't let him know right then. I mean, afterwards, I would let him know. You know, look, you might want to slow down a little bit on this. Or you might want to do it just a little bit like that next time. But I do believe in you know, being honest with the man, you know, because there are some women that are good at faking it, and then, you know, the man, he walk out and think he really did something. When he get with the next woman and she's brutally honest with him and hurt his feelings, then he's, like, all upset, you know. So I would at least tell the truth, you know. So, because if you never tell a person or let a person know what they're doing wrong, then they can't improve, you know. So
AC.
Let them know what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell by looking at a woman that she would be hot in bed, or is it 50-50, or can you make them hot, you know, can you make it good for them knowing that, you know, going into it, they might not be good?
Just looking at them, no, you can't. I mean, you know, it's just like everybody got that gift of gab, you know. Everybody, you know, and I don't care who you are, every woman, every man thinks they're the best in the biz. Not everybody, but you have to have a confidence in yourself. And I think everybody, you know, pretty much has that. They may play it down some, but they do have it.
Looking you said everyone has confidence? Tell.
I would say if you put 100 people in a room, I'm going to say at least 90% of those people have the confidence to say that, you know what, I may not be the bomb, but I am good in bed. I think I'm good. They're going to have that confidence for themselves.
Okay.
So,
I agree with that.
That's the way I look at it. And, you know, as far as to you making a person good in bed, yes. Because, you know, just like the young lady was saying, it depends on how you move, how you touch them, how you kiss them. It's just something to make a person. You know, I've heard that saying from different women who say, you know what, he brought the freak out of me. But then that next guy may not be able to bring the freak out of you. Like this guy brought the freak out of you. It could have been his kiss that brought the freak out of you. The way he touched, the way he ran his hands across your nipple could have brought the freak out of you. The way he stuck his thumb or his finger in your mouth could have brought the freak out of you. The way you see what I'm trying to say? It's just different things that you know, if you do, it may work for one person and it may not work for the next person. So, you know.
I am so proud of my guests because they are true hoes in the truest form. I love y'all.
I was going to say, when I was in the culture, I practiced diligently to be able to touch a person from wherever I was and wherever they were. So I don't think that you need to be in close proximity with a person to actually bring the freak out in them. I mean, they can, hold on to that until the time comes when the two of you together and just unleash the beast.
Well, this brings on my next question. What are some of the most complaints about sex that y'all ran into, you know, whether he just wasn't good, didn't know how to move. I mean, what are some of the specific complaints when you were with somebody that just wasn't a turn on at all?
Are you talking about something that I complain about or somebody else complain about?
No, you personally.
Complain about a man that wasn't good.
There you go. And don't give me a big old list. just hit the high points or the low points, my bad.
The only complaint I would have if the man wasn't willing to learn. That's it. Some people are just stuck in their ways, even with sex. They're stuck in their ways. They think it's their way. And, you know, I'm not trying it any way different, and that's it, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm putting the hammer down, and, you know. If you're closed-minded and just think your way is the way, that's my complaint right there.
Well, Chester, I'm the mediator in this conversation, but my personal opinion is if you're going to bring out a fork, there's no need for a fork in the sex bedroom.
Listen. I thought we had elevated ourselves as human beings. I thought we now eat with spoons and forks, right? So when you come to eat, you got to bring the right utensils.
I'm going to tell you right now.
That sounds dangerous.
In the bedroom. In the bedroom, there's no, unless you, if you got a fork in the bedroom, you try to get that dude off of you.
But you know
get
what?
Off of me.
I'm envisioning it now.
The fork is for the woman. The spoon is for the man.
I thought I told you that.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Explain that to me. The fork is for the woman. Explain that to me.
That's dangerous.
I'm trying to picture it in my mind.
I'll tell you just a little bit of something. I don't want to give away everything, but you can take.
You on the show? You sharing with the audience?
You can take a spoon and oh goodness. You got to be open-minded all the way, but you can take a spoon and insert it in a man.
Right now my mind is running.
You know the shape of a spoon, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
You can take a spoon and insert it in a man and put the right amount of pressure on his prostate. Oh, he will have the ultimate orgasm.
Okay,
and you don't even have to work at it.
A spoon?
You don't even have to work at it.
Okay, now let's get to the fork.
For one thing, with it being metal, you know, it holds heat longer. So that's why I like to use, you know, the metal utensils. Don't use the plastic, you know. It can't hold heat, right? So, you know, metal.
Well, you know what?
Heat lasts longer.
I could go in to tell you about what heat, the benefit of heat down there. I mean, like, you guys know when you get cold, everything gets tight together. You know, your little backs get real cold, tight together, okay? Well, generally when a man is about to release, everything is warm and loose, okay? So as long as you can keep a guy in that position warm and loose, then you have you'd have a more beneficial explosion. But I'm with TAZ. I want to find out. I got this in my mind about the fork, okay, and being for a woman.
What do you have in your mind?
I'm thinking about stimulating certain areas, but even still, I think that's awfully dangerous in the dark.
No.
Okay. Well, you can explain that to us. Enlighten me.
Oh, goodness. Well, the fork is really used for it, not like inserting.
No. Okay. I didn't think so.
No.
I hope not.
No. You wouldn't be inserting anything, so...
No.
You know how
praise God.
You ever had acupuncture before?
Yes.
There you go.
It's something similar to that. And then with the right amount of heat also, you know, it's something similar to that. So there are different places. Everybody got, like, you know, different hot spots. Well, you don't have to, but my whole thing is to show them the different things that they have in their home that they could use instead of buying all these different toys and stuff that's battery operated, electric, and all that, when you can use things right there at home, more than one?
Well, you
know?
We have fingernails too.
Yeah, you have fingernails. Some people have fingernails. I myself, I don't wear fake fingernails. I keep my fingernails low, cut short. You know, I never know when I may use my hand in a certain way.
Yeah.
And,
well, yeah.
You know,
understandable too. That's worse than the fork. Now the fork is actually worse, but anyway.
Oh, actually, a
no,
fork
I,
feels pretty good when you're using it right.
That sounds kind of masochistic right about now.
It feels pretty good.
Okay.
I'm still lost on this fork here. I'm still
She's talking about certain erogenous zones. If you apply pressure and the metal holds the warmth, you're applying pressure with that warmth there. It that erogenous zone will.
And it's almost like acupuncture.
Acupuncture. It's kind of like only it's the needles are a lot thinner in acupuncture, but it's the same methodology. She's saying if you apply, and I don't know why it has to be a fork, frankly, because I think you could use like the. A mixing spoon, the back end of a mixing spoon, if you had to use a household utensil, you know, to apply the pressure. And like, again, I said, it's a fingernail.
They didn't have time to look in the drawer.
It all depends on how you use it, though.
They didn't have time to look in the drawer either.
Well, I have an open mind.
And the thing about, you know, using forks, you have so many of them. You have so many of them, different lengths, some longer, some shorter. Some have three prongs.
Yeah, well, we're talking about a roasting fork.
I can go in a kitchen and just find so many things to play with. So
I bet you can. And some people selling Tupperware.
I hate to say it, if you got to go in the kitchen to find something to play with, then hell, you need to get up out of the house.
But the point is, there are a lot of things that you can instead of buying. The things that they make. You buy all these different sizes.
Those toys
vibrators
are expensive.
And all that, you know. You don't even have to go outside your home to get things to bring you pleasure. That was the whole point.
It's true. I agree with you totally on that. I still find using sharp objects in the bedroom a bit dangerous.
Well, if you find that dangerous, you really wouldn't want to use an ice pick in those fields.
Oh, no, she didn't say ice pick.
Yes, ice picks. The old ice picks, the ones, not the ones with the handles, but the ones that's just metal all the way.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
that's my favorite.
Have you given a title to your hobby? Do you have a title for your hobby?
No.
I do.
No, I do not. Nope.
It's in depth.
Nope.
I got a question. Is it good, this is for everybody again, is it good not to have restrictions while having sex? Should there be restrictions? Should people say, I just don't do that, like me with the ice pick, I just don't do that? Is it good not to have restrictions?
You just haven't done it yet. But anyway, is it good not to have restrictions? Well,
yeah.
I think like this, everybody's different. And, you know, everybody aren't as open, you know, with learning new things and trying new things. So some people are going to have certain restrictions anyway. You know, you can be as open-minded as you want to be, but there's always something that you just won't do, you know. And it just depends, you know. It just depends. But I like pushing it to the limit. You know, how far can you go? How far are you willing to go? Just how open are you? And I'm going to open you up some more. You know, when you think you're so open-minded, I'm going to open you up some more.
I'm open-minded just to get you in the door, and then I'm going to be real open-minded to kick you out when you come with that ice pick. Praise God. Paula, is it a good thing not to have restrictions while having sex?
Well, okay, first of all, I want to talk to all the adults out there in Radio Land. if you are about to engage in sexual intercourse, okay, and you want it to be a memorable experience, then I suggest that you think about the worst thing that could be presented to you. Then ask yourself the question, are you prepared to go there? And if you can answer yes, then you need to check with that other person, the other half of this memorable experience, discuss it, okay, if there are any limitations, so you know. And if there are limitations, you respect that person's limitation, ask that that person respect yours, and then go on and go for it, because it'll still become a very memorable experience. But if y'all just going to go in it and pull surprises out, like underneath your pillow, you jack out this damn basement, or you got this fork sticking up and you're putting on rubber gloves, whoa, 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 hold on. Okay? I'm going to tell you, I have an open mind. I have a very open mind. Okay? I learned that from separating the wheat from the tares when I was in the culture. There, there's nothing romantic about an ice pick. You can't say ice pick and then get a fond smile or sigh.
Once I'm done, you will be smiling.
Darling, you know what? I believe that you believe that. And I believe I believe that you, the people that you've had sessions with that have utilized pitch ice picks and forks probably have found that that's they've had memorable experiences too. Well, all I'm saying is that before anybody knows anything about what to do with this fork and this ice pick, you can't get a little twinkle in your eye and say, oh gosh, she's got the ice pick. It's not romantic. It's just not.
AC, AC.
Well, I'm not trying to provide romance. That's not what I do. And it's not about providing romance, you know, because romance doesn't start in the bed.
No. Life is romantic, honey.
It starts in the day. So romance does not start.
No, you have to understand what the word, as a writer, I use the word romance. And the definition to romantic is a lot deeper than what we term it.
We need to. You need AC's response.
Is part of this right here,
AC.
A learning experience for Chester. And whoever else would like to learn. It's a learning experience.
AC, yes. We're going to listen to AC. AC, what's your response on this?
You
I don't know.
Give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. I'll be right back in just 5 minutes.
I guess he's fixing his ice pick. The last question that I got is the age-old question, sex before marriage. Is it good? Is it bad? And why? I'll let Paula go first.
Now, you know doggone well that the rumor is every time the ring goes on, the vows are done, the woman goes, click, click. I heard. They just lock it up. I heard they just lock it. It's just the key gone.
We're talking sexual if you're active.
Okay, if you're active, I don't think that that changes. I think that if that's the foundation, well, I'm not going to say foundation, but I think that if the couple has a very healthy respect for one another, then it's always good. Should get better as time goes by.
So should you have, my question was though, I don't know if you understood it, but should you have sex before you get married or after? That's my question.
Okay.
Can I chime in on that one, TAZ?
Wait a minute. We waiting on Paula.
Okay. All right.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, I have to confer with my attorney, so let him go.
AC, go home.
Yeah, I got one question to you. If you ever go try, if you ever look at a mattress, what's the first thing you do before you buy it?
I lay on it.
Okay.
Try it out.
You trying it out. So I mean,
hey, look. My view is the same way. If I get a car, I really want to drive it before I buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
If I walk in the mall and I'm at the food court, the people that let me eat their food for free first might get a sale. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. Chester.
Now, be advised, I have a cousin, and I have a cousin. And she's not
right.
a virgin, but she's a born-again Christian virgin. And, you know, and I talk to her occasionally, and I just talked with her last night. And she has the mentality now that she will not sleep with a man until he marries her. And I tell her to stick with her beliefs, that stick with your beliefs, because that's what you believe, stick with it. But do I think that she'll ever get married? No, I do not. Because every guy that she dates, the first thing they say is that, you know, hey, I don't know what I'm getting into. You know, he may marry her. Now, true enough, you marry a person, you know, to not for sex, but I'll be honest to say sex plays 65% of marriage. But, you know, I try to tell her that, you know, hey, stick to your belief, but deep down inside, I say to myself, no, you're not getting married no time soon. I mean, because what guy do you know that's going to marry you that ain't going to sleep with you before he get married?
True.
Might sleep with you and say, you know
what,
okay, now.
There are a lot of men that will, though. There are a lot of men that will marry you without sleeping with you.
There are actually a lot of men that will do that.
Some use it, like, you know, for religious purposes and everything, you know, because of their religion. Or they just respect that woman just that much that they will wait, you know,
in their midst of waiting, do you think they're out there doing something else?
Well, who knows? But wait a minute. Just because they're getting it from you don't mean they're still not out there doing something else. So if that's going to be what keeps them with you, then, hey, They could be out there doing something else, but that isn't something that I would worry about.
Because if they're
gonna do it, you know, whether they're sleeping with you or not, then, you know, what is marriage gonna do? That's just gonna be a piece of paper. That a piece of paper ain't gonna stop them from going out sleeping with someone else, you know, once you're married. So if they're fooling around already and you're in a so supposedly committed relationship.
I want to thank all of y'all for being on this show. I mean, we done talked half an hour, and this will be caught up on the replay. But I want to thank all of y'all for calling in on Hoism for the Sex Survey with guest Miss Undressa. Thank you for calling in late but never and putting in your input. AC, I want to thank you for actually staying on the whole show. And my partner, Paula Patton Ross, author, extraordinaire, poetry writer, Stay Diggs, I want to thank you for calling in as well, because your Hoism and your culture that you bring to the show is extremely well taken.
Am I attorney Taylor J. Hamilton, Esquire?
Oh, yeah. And your attorney. Thank you all. This has been another ATAZP show, and we'll catch you back next week. Peace.
Peace.